G'day Trail Runners, welcome to episode 7 of the Trail Runners Experience. On today's episode, I'm talking with David Turnbull, one of South Australia's best and most accomplished trail runners. David gives us a bit of an insight into what it takes to be an excellent trail runner and just an excellent human in general. So sit back and enjoy. Straight in. So Dave, you're a very accomplished ultramarathon runner. You've been running for a number of years. So maybe you want to tell us a little bit more about where you started running.
Yeah, so probably it's good to see you, Daniel. It's really good to be here to have a chat. But my running was the same as everybody else's, I would suspect. Everybody started at school and had a little run in, you know, with 1500 meters and cross country, and I liked it, but it wasn't everything. I think the start for me was in 1980. I went on to train for a half marathon, so first half marathon age 13.
Wow.
And that was great. A couple of hours, got the taste of it. By 15, I was illegally entering a marathon as a 15-year-old in the UK. So my first marathon at 15, was in 1983.
Wow. So, going back some. What did you do that one in? What was your time?
4 hours and 35 minutes.
That's...
And I crawled in, but I wasn't pulled out by anybody, even though I looked so short and looked as 15 as I could possibly.
I would love to see photos of that.
I've got them. Yeah, they're not pretty. But and then basically it was marathons all the way through to about 1999, which is when, you know, fast forward, you know, what's that, you know, 16 years, fast forward through a variety of marathons into ultras. My first ultra was, you know, in 1999, and it came about as a just running off the back of a marathon thinking, right, I'll have a crack at an ultra, and like we all do, went for the longest one possible, you know, because that's the sort of thing that you do when you're daft. And and that was 238k.
Jesus.
Along a canal in the UK called the Grand Union Canal, and runs from Birmingham to London. So ran that in 42 hours, and
wow.
And finished 10th, and was just delighted. And then, you know, you get a sense of perspective that if you can do that, you can take anything on.
Absolutely. That's quite the jump. A lot of people I know will leap into a 50k and then maybe do 100k if they're feeling really adventurous.
Yeah.
But
how many people have gone straight into ultras and they'll tell you they've never run a marathon?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it was happening back then as well, and I wasn't doing anything in between. I thought, right, bang, just hit it.
It's funny that there was a real running boom in the 80s, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then
absolutely.
I feel like we're in like a new running boom at the moment, and I think it's got a lot to do with like smart watches and technology, because it's very motivating being able to look at your watch and know how fast you're running and getting faster.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
absolutely.
So after 1999, that massive ultra, so after that you kept going.
So then it went to not so much distance, it went to hottest, coldest and so on. So I raced in the Jordan Desert Jordan Desert race, which was a 100 miler, and then I went to Lapland and did a 100k in between. But I went to Alaska for a 100 mile race across there in February in Alaska.
Wow.
So, you know, really it was trying to push and set a benchmark and give me that sense of perspective that I could never then go, well, you know what, I kind of do this road marathon, because in the back of my mind, if you've been to Alaska, you've been to Jordan, or you've done anything of that sort of distance, then you know you can do it. It really just then becomes about the prep and how fast, or, you know, how you want to tackle it. So really it was like getting that early perspective in, that was the framework. And then from there, you know, you can then refine and then chase whatever goals you're looking for.
Do you feel like you get smarter with your racing?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And that comes from, that has been, the last 4 years has been the, you know, the ultimate in being smarter. And, you know, I owe that to Ben Hawkins. You know Ben.
Amazing coach and race director.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, he's been superb, and he's necessarily clipped my wings sometimes. He's stopped me from self-sabotaging because you always think you know best, you've been running a long time, and the coaching element, you know, and it's obviously what I do for a business as well. I know that, you know, it's good to have that accountability and to have somebody who can look at, you know, and basically be able to tweak and nudge where needed.
Yeah, right. So Ben's able to give you the right type of training plan. So I guess working with a coach has brought out the best in you.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you shortly about what you're up to right now, but we'll just wait. We'll put that on the back burner for a minute. So I just want to keep working through the timeline. So the last 4 years, you say, have been sort of been a stellar few years for you. And I've seen you on the track, and I've seen you on the trails, and yeah, you're absolutely in blistering form. And if people who don't know you, you know, I mean, you're not 25.
No.
And how old are you?
So I've just turned 50.
He's 50 years old, and so in the best 4 years of your life.
Absolutely.
So contrary to popular wisdom, you're not slowing down.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. And the last 4 years, so to put it in perspective, 4 years ago, I had not ran under 3 hours for a marathon. That was only 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And since then, I've been under a number of times. I've also, you know, ran nearly 100, just shy of 140K in 12 hours back in 15.
Yeah.
You know, I've gone on FKT wise, you know, with the Heisen, with the 1200 there. You know, the World Trail Championships this year as the third oldest person in 300 and odd of the best trail runners in the world.
Amazing.
So it's nuts that you should limit yourself as far as age is concerned. That's no restriction, that's no excuse whatsoever. Absolutely not.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people do use that as a mental barrier. And I mean, I'm a big believer in use it or lose it. You know, very easy to sit around and do nothing or
absolutely.
But yeah, don't go quietly into the night. Is that, who said that? Something along to that effect. I want to about the World Trail Championships. I'd love to hear a bit more about that. That was sort of fairly recently. And so where was it held?
So that was in Spain.
Near
Valencia. So up in the mountains there. That was fantastic. And since 2015, I've chased a big dream of mine is to represent my adopted country, Australia.
Yeah.
And for the 10 years I've been here, Australia's been so good to me that I've always chased. Just once, if it just happened once, would be to have the Aussie
put the green and gold
colours
on.
Absolutely.
And you did it.
But I was very close in 2015 and 2016 to be with the 100K team, and it took 15 months to get to running sub 8 hour 100K.
Absolutely blistering.
It's not in comparison to the strength and depth that we got in this country, so I missed out, which it just shows. But
I mean, you've got blokes like Brendan Davies who are running sub 7 hours, you know?
Yeah, so, absolutely right. It's just absolutely nuts what these guys are doing. You know, the early disappointment from that, give way to the resolve to basically make sure that I was going to represent Australia in some other way. And, I love being on the trails. And at the time, Robert Boyce said to me, he said, you know, why don't you chase the trail side of things? And I did. And that's where Spain happened. And I'm just delighted, you know, that I got that opportunity.
That's incredible. So can you tell me a little bit about the actual race experience itself and the course and whatnot?
Yeah. So the course was 88 kilometers. It was 5,000 meters of climb and basically started from about 3K in, just kept up and up and up. The climb wasn't the issue. The technical side of things was the thing that you could not switch off. So it was a very, very technical course with climbs, with short, sharp descents, chained rocks to traverse, etc. Beautiful. You were, everybody absolutely loved to go back in peacetime to see it.
I saw a photo that you may have shared on Facebook. And there was a terrifying drop off.
The ledge. And that was the epitome of what was there. It had absolutely everything.
You have a fall off the side of the mountain.
You're leaning in. You can only lean in like so far because it was so narrow. But the fall to the left hand side, it was like absolutely nuts. You know, it was
brilliant. And how did you race? How did you feel?
So the race, I was going very, very well, and through to around 45k. 45k, I felt a little bit of cramp coming on, and you know, I have got, I use, and I know a lot of the guys here in Adelaide are using it, pickle juice. So been using a pickle juice. I was using that, and it was putting it off, and it was fine. By about 60k, the cramp, I had one cramp that was that severe in my right leg, in the top of my right leg, that it actually threw me off the trail. And it was on a descent, and it threw me off to the right-hand side into the bushes.
Wow.
And I just found myself like laughing, because the bottom line is like, crawl or whatever, I was finishing that race. That wasn't gonna be, and I never use excuses. I always look at it this way, is that you can prepare absolutely the best. The environmental factors will be there. You know, you play to those conditions, you embrace the conditions. There's nothing you can do about it. That was something I couldn't do anything about. It did pull me back in terms of being able to open up, I finished, and I was delighted to be finished, and to grab the Aussie flag on the way through before the finish line. Just gold.
And a world-class event, you know, world championship.
Yeah.
Were you pleased with the result overall?
I reckon I was good for a faster time, but I would say that, I'm finished, I'm really pleased to have completed it, to run as hard as I could with, whatever limitation I had, leg-wise. So yes, I reckon I was probably good for, a better time. But it's that happens. Happens to everyone. There was 60 odd people who are running for their country that pulled out, right? So it gives you sort of an indication that you're pulling out with your country's colours on.
Yeah.
Okay. It was severe.
It must be such a sense of responsibility, You know, you're like, I have to finish this, even if I don't want to.
Absolutely right. Yeah. No, absolutely.
So I guess sometimes, I mean, the best of us have had DNFs, and so, it's so much of it's physical, but there's a lot of mental aspect to it.
It's what you learn from it. You know, it's what you take away from it. And, you hear people that, they'll break world records, and they never talk about that world record. They talk about where they could actually tweak it and go faster or longer or so on. And that, to me, is like elite performance. And I love to see that. And, I've got like a lot of learns from it, and a lot of respect for the guys who were, at the real sharp end of it. They were ridiculous. But the thing that we love about the distance running side of things is you are never short of support. And if you're like an inner sanctum, and the guys that listening to this would know who they are, that you can rely on for that support and those learnings, and you basically progress together. And I've always had that, always sought that, always looked for my inspiration everywhere, and a lot of it is outside of running as well. And we've had this conversation many times,
Absolutely. I mean, you talk about inspiration being outside. Perfect example you mentioned this morning is your own son. So you've got two boys.
Yeah.
And one of them, I'm sure they're both excellent in their own right. And being a father myself, I know you can't have favorites, but tell me about what the oldest one did this morning.
So that's brilliant, isn't it? So George and Daniel, you couldn't have two better sons. They're fantastic, and love them a bit. But George this morning went out. He's a cyclist, loves his bike, but he decided to go for a run. And his 7K run that he had planned, he felt good, he kept running. And he went and he rang and said that he was in the city, and he'd ran a 1:30 at half marathon. That's the furthest he's ever ran.
A spontaneous half marathon.
A spontaneous half marathon.
Yeah.
And I just thought, and he's now starting to ask me about like my best times and things when I was his age. and so on. But it's just, that's inspiration. I just love it.
Yeah. So. Must make you so proud.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's brilliant.
No, well, he's obviously going to be trying to chase down some of your times pretty soon.
Yeah, he mentioned the Heisen this morning. So he's gone straight from wanting to beat my best half marathon time to taking on the Heisen FKT.
Oh, the
the full Heisen, as you do when you're 16. Yeah.
That's a good segue. So you've got the fastest known time for the 1200 kilometre Heisen Trail in South Australia. And now you've got a 16-year-old son that wants to beat that. So tell me a little bit about your experience of the Heisen Trail and how your endeavour came about to beat that. It was last year, wasn't it? 2017.
Yeah, May last year. So May last year, took it on and did the 1200K in 13 days, 16 hours and 16 minutes. And a year before that, the planning went into place to prepare for it. The support team that was there all had their strengths, all had their certain characteristics, from spontaneous excitement characteristics through to very, very meaningful figure and data strengths, through to the nutritional side of things, which was fantastic. And that was Steph Gaskell at Nutrition Strategies. Through to the coaching from Ben Hawkins. So the whole thing was put in place, and it was so disciplined, the approach to it. It was, and it had to be. You know, there's so much that goes into it. Whereas, you know, I just got to the start at Parachilna on that morning, just after six on that morning, May the 4th, and basically I knew that I couldn't be any better prepared.
Great, yeah. And so, I mean, I always say about any race, and a race like this in particular, there's so many things you can control in a race, but there's a lot that you can't control as well.
Yep.
And so you've obviously taken charge of your training and your nutrition, obviously the logistics.
Yep.
Did anything happen that sort of was out of your control during the run?
Absolutely there was. You know, I think it's every 300 metres you've got a marker. But in some parts of the trail, the markers are shorter than the scrub that is there.
Yeah,
so
they
effectively disappear. Now, if you have those disappearing at the same time as you have e-trek issues or problems with your navigation, okay, and it happens on the longest stretch where your support is so far away, then all that happened on one particular day. And, you know, like anything, it's one of those where it's like, go back to your plan. If this happens, okay, what are you going to do? And the first thing you're not going to do is panic. Okay, so you know, you always, I tried from one place, I went, I think it was 16 times in 16 different ways, trying to find the way out of this particular gorge area.
Oh, wow.
Okay, but I didn't panic. I did feel that the sun was going down quickly. I'd offloaded a load of gear to run through quickly because I thought it'd be a fairly, you know, easy-ish stage between support teams, and it wasn't. So things went bad fairly quickly.
Yeah. Did you get close to panicking?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. I think anybody would. To the extent, and I can tell you this for a fact, that I was silently crying.
Yeah.
Okay. And the thought that was going through my head was, is this it? Is this where it all finishes?
Yeah.
I had that, and it's again, this is one of those senses of perspective that whatever you've got in your life, right, you think of that and think, well, it's nothing compared to that, okay? It's nothing compared to people that are like battling illness, you know? So let's just get a grip.
It's a situation that you more or less put yourself in on purpose.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, no one asked you to do that.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
But you found your way out, and you found your support crew. And
yeah,
your support,
absolutely.
Which was Randall.
So Barry McBride came running in at that point, like a knight on a white horse. It was fantastic.
The legend.
Legend. Yeah, I've never been. And he asked if I wanted to talk about it. I pretty like no. I said no. get me out of here.
Yeah.
And we went back and Randall was there and we had a, you know, we had a sit down and we just, you know, we didn't say a lot. We just knew. And this is the key to the support teams that you've got. If things go wrong or things are going right and so on, and you were struck mute, would they know what to think, what to do, and how to act? And that's exactly how it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't a time and place for a debrief. Okay. Yeah. And it was a job to be done.
Yeah, and I'm sure, yeah, there's plenty of time to debrief later. I remember, so when you got further south and you came through Adelaide.
Oh, yeah.
And you got, I mean, lots of people tried to catch up with you along the way.
You came battling and flying up behind me. I thought I was under attack.
Well, I remember because I was following you on your little e-trek thing that you had. Yeah. And I...
On a spot tracker.
Yeah, spot tracker. And I missed you earlier than I wanted to, and I thought, so I had to jump back in my car and drive around to Morialta.
Yeah.
And I thought, I've got to catch him. And then, because you were sending out a signal like every, how long? Every hour, half hour?
I think it was every half hour, wasn't it?
Yeah, and so I was at a point where I came up on the center track in Morialta.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure which direction, whether to go to the left, which would have taken me north along the Heisen Trail.
Yeah.
But I thought, what if he's gone the other way?
Yeah.
And so I wasn't sure how far away you were in either direction. So I thought, I'll give it a sprint in both directions. So I went the other direction first. And then I turned around and I found you. You're still moving well. And I knew, knowing you, you wouldn't be messing around. So I couldn't waste too much time. Otherwise, you'd be halfway down to Victor Harbour before I even caught up with you.
Yeah, it was brilliant. I can't think of anyone. I really struggled to think of anyone during the Adelaide stretch that didn't turn up and I didn't see actually on that trail.
It's great.
So yeah. it was just brilliant.
There was a lot of love. Everyone was so supportive of what you were doing. I just wish I could have run with you longer that day. But it was sort of like, before you know it, you were through Adelaide and you're onto the southern stretch. And then you got down to the final stretch down the last couple of hundred Ks.
Yeah.
You know, the fatigue really setting in.
Yeah.
You're ready to be done.
Yeah, absolutely ready.
And what happened? And so you finished in the dark, going through Deep Creek, is that right?
Yeah, so I thought that the last day was 70 odd K. We set off at 7 in the morning from Newlands, ran there. And I ended up finishing at just after 10:15 on the night time, and people had been down there since lunchtime expecting me just to finish that in like 5 or 6 hours, because you just look at the distance and go, well, it's not that far. But it's so, you know, if you've been down there and you get into Deep Creek, and it's quite a challenging section, along that.
So even on good legs, it's a challenging section.
Oh, absolutely. You know,
not on tired legs.
Yeah, and I came out of a part of Deep Creek, and I'd got through there, and then it got dark. And there'd been some people who'd come to support. Ben was there, I know Ben was there, and Steph Gaskell and the like. And it was in a really random place. And I'd come up to the team, and I was effing and jeffing and saying, I'm just over this, and so on. And there's just random strangers stood there in the darkness just to the side of me. And it was like, this is bizarre, you know? But I didn't know how long was left at that point. Barry, who was running with me, and Randall wouldn't tell me because I didn't want to like disappoint me, because it was further than I thought. But it was great to get done, and great to finish. The last stretch. George and Dan ran with me, and it was just
pretty emotional.
Special, and everyone at the end, and Michelle with the wine at the finish, the cowbells, and all the stuff happening in the dark, and everyone that made the effort to get down there. It's just brilliant.
Oh, well, you made the ultimate effort. You went down on foot. Of all your running performances, would you say that's one of your greatest?
It's so special.
Yeah.
So special.
I think it's different from a race, getting a FKT.
Yeah.
Because it's all you, you know? You're not competing against a person. I mean, you're competing against the time, but it's You know, like it's a totally different, imagine it would be a totally different experience.
What was bizarre with it was that it's like a virtual race because the record of 14 days and so on, which was Richard Bowles, yeah. I saw his logs in any of the logbooks down the track. I could tell the timing because we set up on the same day. I could tell whether I was behind, ahead and the like.
Oh,
so it's very, very weird.
Yeah.
You know? But brilliant. And I've spoken to Richard, since the completion of it, and we've had some really, really good, chats about it.
He's not going to come and take the record off you anytime soon, is he?
He didn't say. I'm sure there'll be a few people that will have a crack at it, and you know, and I will support them in any way I can.
Yeah,
you know,
it's that's another great thing about the sport of trail running is how. There's a real camaraderie in the sport.
Oh, absolutely.
And you see it in all the events that we have here in Adelaide, you know. Doesn't matter if you're first or last or anywhere in between.
Yeah.
People are so supportive. And I love it. Yeah. You know, you don't get that in football or, you know, I mean, maybe to a different extent, but, you know, I absolutely love it. I was just going to talk to you about your mindset in just the way you race. I've seen you race a number of times and you really have a game face.
Yeah.
And I love that you have a game face, because when you're out there you're all business. And perfect example was at the track 100k last year, 100 kilometers around the Santos Stadium track, you know, and it was hot. I remember, and you were clocking some fast kilometers, but you're just all business. And so I know that you're always really focus on your logistics. So just tell me what sort of, if you could give us a little bit of an insight into what's going on in your mind in when you're really pushing for a PB, you know?
Yeah. So I, like anybody else, I'll have an absolute plan, which is something that I've worked through with Ben. And it will be a variety of small markers and small indicators and small measures within that race that will tell me if I'm on track, behind, ahead, and so on. So with 100K, you know, I will have the markers, and not be the traditional markers, perhaps, which you go like, oh, getting a marathon in, then a double marathon, and then whatever you've got left, which happens a bit. It's going to be, my key focus will be, yes, a marathon side of things is important, and the time-wise and going through there, that's it's important. But for me, it's being able to manage that dark period, if you like, that anybody who's run 100K, you'll find between 60 and 75, where you're quite a long way in, right? But yeah, there's still quite a long way to go.
Yeah.
So it's actually managing that part, okay? And that's the key to the 100K side of things.
Yeah.
When I break it down, when I knew I had to break 8 hours for the 100K, when I had to break 8 hours for the 100K, I broke it down into 10 lots of 10K.
Yeah.
So I was only doing 10 reps of 10K.
Right.
So I was only concentrating on 43 and 44 minutes at any time. It had nothing to do with 100K.
That's
okay.
Great.
So that's you know.
Yeah. You gotta lie to yourself a bit sometimes, don't
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely.
I say it all the time, and I said it the other day. When I'm in a race, I try and I say aggressively positive as well.
Yep.
Like I just think you make that real decision to take charge mentally, you know. Quite often, I remember earlier in my running career, you just get swept along with whatever, if something happens, and reacting emotionally to it. Whereas, I mean, because shit happens in races.
Sorry.
But it's about getting, being in charge of, okay, whether you're going to let it affect you or not, and so good or bad. I know a few years ago in the Heisen 105, I had a terrible run, and I think you yourself had, I wouldn't say a terrible run, but you took a wrong turn.
And you lost
quite a few kilometres to your race.
Six.
And that sort of ruined your day a little bit.
That was such a good learning that day. Probably didn't think that at the time, but I ran 6K in the wrong direction, about 3K and then 3K back to get back on track. And then what I did, like everybody does when you make a mistake, you overcompensate, the adrenaline kicked in, I was running far too fast. And Mal Gamble, I saw, as I got back on track, and he said, DT, he said, there's so far left, right, calm down and you'll be fine, right? And I did, and I calmed down, and Mal's a fantastic runner. And what I did then was work on how to control the pace, but how to then start bringing people back in, because I still felt that I had a chance of winning it.
Yeah, you were, ended up being quite a far way back in the field.
Well, when I got lost, I was I took the lead, and I'd gone early. Yeah. But I guess, you know, I missed a marker. That's fine. It happens. But as I was actually pulling people back in, you know, it was quite rewarding on that basis. And funny enough, I was down in Kaibo running last weekend, I think it was, and the place where I caught Eddie, who was in second place at that point, went there, and there was only Howard now in front, but I ran out of course. Yeah. Howard is just a brilliant runner.
He's strong finisher.
Eddie. and it wasn't going to happen. But such great learnings, right? Yeah. That, you know, how to compose yourself and basically, you know, stick to the job in hand.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in mindfulness.
Yeah.
And I try and use it in my running as well.
Yeah.
And but in life. And there's a lot of sports psychologists that utilize that. And,
yep.
And it's about really being in the moment and just going, okay, whatever happened 1 kilometer ago, it's in the past.
It's gone.
It's
yep.
gone. Never going to see it again.
Yep.
And the future hasn't happened yet. So it's all about that, the next,
yep.
that step that you're on right now.
Yep.
So
that's,
I think that's a right. good, yeah. So, yep. and I mean, I know that you're a big believer in the mental side
yes.
of it, you know, and so
yeah.
I was going to ask you, so now you, after your big race at World Trail Championships,
yep.
you've officially announced to the world that you have retired from running.
From competitive racing.
Competitive racing. And where are you now?
So I'm currently, just this morning, I was looking at a FKT that I'm thinking about. I'm still running and still really enjoying it. I've looked at a few adventures as far as the FKT side of things is concerned with the running, and also with the bike as well. That's something that I'm looking at for, not so much FKT wise, but long distance bike packing. But as far as the running's concerned, I'm looking at some FKTs at the moment and watch this space on.
Okay,
on
so FKTs in the future from David Turnbull. Excellent. So being a bit mysterious.
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
I wanted you won't even give us a clue. Is it in Australia? Are we looking in Australia?
Yes, is the short answer to that.
Okay. All right, I won't probe any deeper.
Man,
the look
honestly,
on your face. No,
yeah,
it's okay.
No, it's
You're on the drawing board phase.
Yeah, absolutely. But if one is going to happen, one's going to happen, and it's going to be sooner rather than later. So stand by on that. I'd love to tell you more about it, honestly.
It's something that I'll stay updated on, because I love it. So you've got also in your, I guess not your, at the moment you've sort of taken on a new business venture, is that right?
So I've been running, it's been a year now, Perform Best.
Perform Best?
So Perform Best is born out of everything that I stand for in terms of meaning and purpose. It's effectively getting the best out of people, getting the best out of businesses, okay? Maximizing people's strengths. Managing, you know, where there's any particular weakness, as it would be, you know, I wouldn't use the term weakness, but you know, it's basically getting the best out of people, and that's been brilliant, and it is born out of what you just said before, that I'm very much a believer in what happens from the shoulders up, right, is so important in the way that we operate and the way that we show up.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a lot which is the mind mastery concept.
Mind mastery. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, making sure that your performance, right, is going to be absolutely maximized by recognizing anything which is interference. Okay. changing it and intervening and making sure that you're playing to your strengths and also embracing whatever conditions you've got you know, around you, which might not be the best conditions, let's face it, sometimes.
Yeah. So basically, what you do, you're taking this ultra mindset that you've got.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
And turning it and channeling it for businesses.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. So it's elite performance.
Yeah.
And it's born out of obviously my career work experience wise, but also from the running side of it. And also I've had the privilege of being, working with some top Olympic psych coaches,
yeah.
Okay, from Rio, which is just something which has really, really helped to where is that. Where is that proportion? Where is that little difference that, you know, that puts elite performance into perspective?
Yeah, that's so impressive. I think it's, yeah, having started my own sort of little business.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's yeah, there's a lot to learn in business, you know? And I think, yeah, sometimes things don't go well in business. And I get negative or discouraged about things, but that mind, that's the whole idea of what we talked about before, about just leaving it.
Yep.
And, move on to the next thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's more to it than that, but it sounds like it's constructive.
There definitely is, and you know what the bottom line is it's people taking action, right, and executing, okay, on things rather than just, you know, maybe talking about them and then moving to the next shiny thing. Okay,
yeah.
It's actually completing. And, it's this, you know, we do have this perpetual need for, for self-achievement, okay, and for achievement with the people that you work with and so on. And it does teach you a lot. Business-wise, no different to running a race, where you look for the inspiration around you, the support, the people that have been there, the people that have done it, okay? And, you know, it is not a smooth path, okay?
Yeah.
Life's not a smooth path.
No.
So let's not get this, you know, optimism bias or, you know, this thing where everything's going to be great. It's how you react, it's how you play your cards, you know.
That's brilliant. So tell me about your current sponsors that you've got. I know you're involved with Utonic.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. So Utonic, we got together. Utonic is a great brand. It's a great company, and it's a great product. So if you think of what we do from the running scene, they've got, you know, there's three brands there that I saw and I went, well, hold on a second. One's called Charge, one's called Repair, and one's called Calm. So Charge, think of that in the environment of your hard training, giving you that that boost fully naturally, okay? Repair, okay? You've ran hard, you've raced hard. Repair's there to actually give you that fix, that fit again, getting you sorted out. And Calm is just superb for basically relaxing you and putting you at ease if you've got any periods of like short-term stress and so on, which we all sometimes have. So I got in touch with Mike Brinkley, the co-founder, and we had a chat, and I love being an ambassador for Utonic.
Great.
I think it does a great service to so many people, you know. It's brilliant.
Awesome.
Absolutely brilliant.
Where do you get it? Can you get it from just any sports shop?
Yes, you can. If you go onto utonic.com, so you go onto Utonic, you can buy it online, which is probably the best way personally. They're in a lot of retailers, and you'll see them. They're fairly striking bottle, so you'll see that.
Yeah, cool.
So yeah, it's an excellent product.
Oh, that's great. I noticed on Facebook the other day, or a few weeks ago now, we're in Western Australia. I'm assuming for business
that's
or something.
That's right. Yeah.
And you just went for a cheeky marathon run, is that right?
Yeah, so this was a little bit of a challenge from Michael, who basically said, oh, I ran a half marathon with a bottle of, on one bottle of Utonic Charge. And I went, all right, I said, well, I can run a marathon. And that's where it came from, which is pathetic, isn't it, really, when you think about it? It's like two blokes, like, doing that. Anyway, I had to do it because I'd said
exactly.
And absolutely right. And got some help for the first 24K with a really, really top runner in WA that I know. And then he dropped off and I went off into the dark and finished in 3 hours, 1 minute and something.
Wow, that is really fast.
Yeah, which is great.
On one bottle?
On one bottle, no water, nothing.
It helped? And you got there? Was it a bit, imagine, how much is in a bottle?
Yeah, 350 mil. So it is not a lot. No, it's, let's just say that this was, don't try this at home. It wouldn't be something I would be recommending.
You're a trained professional, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely, it wouldn't be something I'd be recommending now because you do need, obviously, everything that goes with,
any product can get you there, right?
Oh, it's just, yeah, no, it's
an Newtonic.
Absolutely excellent product. And also, one of the founders was, Collingwood footy player, right? So needed exactly something which was natural, but was going to give that spark for the surging, running, and so on. So it's across all sports, and it's definitely worth a look.
Well, I'm going to try it.
Brilliant.
So to finish, it's been great talking to you. I'm going to give you, and I've been started doing this my last episode. I'm going to give you the fast five. So we're going to do a fast five. So five questions. Fairly quick answers. There's no right or wrong answers. Oh, he's got his head in his hands. The pressure. Oh, so much pressure. Don't worry, you don't have to run a 17-minute 5K. You just have to answer five questions. Okay, so question one. Your favourite running film?
Favourite running film will always be Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump. Second Forrest Gump answer I've had. That's great. Good one. Question two I think is going to be an easy one. Roads or trails?
Trails.
Trails never fails. All right, finish this sentence for me. Running gives me...
everything that I want and need.
Question four. What is, or do you have, a bucket list race?
Yes, the Down Under 135.
The Down Under 135. Can you quickly elaborate on that?
Yep, so for 2 years I've been watching it and missed it, and it's been referred to as the Australian Barclay. It's just such a fantastic adventure, and Dion Milne and the guys have put on such a great race that is something that is definitely right up there.
So it's definitely still on the horizon.
Oh, in fact, I'll use it. We can say now I am doing it next year.
Whoa.
So it's the first time I mentioned it, and that will be special. Because I know how people have how hard it's been. It's like a 19% finish rate.
Oh wow! How so exciting!
Yeah.
So it's 135
miles.
Of course. Yeah. Okay. Well, watch this space. Question five: your last kilometer, your favorite post-race treat. How do you treat yourself?
A bottle of Prancing Pony beer.
Delicious.
Which I was introduced to by Sean Sweetman one year after Eurobilla.
Yeah, right.
And it was a good run, and I thought, well, it's a good way to finish.
Excellent. Well, Dave, it's been great talking to you.
Oh, it's been brilliant. Thanks, mate.
We'll do it again. I'm gonna keep chasing you about your FKT.
Yep.
The upcoming secretive FKTs. I'm sure it's going to be something insane. But keep charging and keep being an inspiration, man. I really like it.
I appreciate that. And likewise, to everyone that I deal with, I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't have the inspiration that I pull from everywhere. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, good on you, man.
So thanks, man.
All right, have a good one.
You too, mate.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode of the Trail Runners Experience. I absolutely love talking to David. He's such a nice guy and just so easy to talk to, and he just always gives such great insight. If you're enjoying the Trail Runners Experience, please share this episode or share all the episodes with all your friends. I would really appreciate it. I'm really enjoying what I'm doing. I apologize if the sound quality wasn't great in this episode. It was recorded inside a noisy pub. But I am working on it for future episodes. So thanks for your support, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye.